Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hey, let's get straight into the word. And I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 14. And this scripture has really convicted me, and I pray that it convicts you the way it convicted me. And in this scripture, we see Jesus sharing a parable. And you may be asking, what's a parable? Well, a parable is simply a story. It's storytelling. And these stories are not just stories for story's sake. A lot of these parables have a deeper meaning to them. And often they require self-reflection. There's a message behind every story. It's one of the ways that Jesus would communicate in order to get his message across. It's one of his communication tools, you can say, in order to get his point across. And throughout the Gospels, we see parable after parable. The parable of the sower, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the good Samaritan. And in Matthew 25, verse 14, here we read about the parable of the talents. And so I'm going to read from verse 14, and it says this: "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away." Now, I just want to make it clear in this text that these talents, they're not talking about physical talents. They're not talking about like dancing talents or singing talents. It's not talking about physical talents. I don't have none of those. But these talents are talking about referring to currency. It's money. And according to the Bible, my Bible anyway, on the footnote, it says that 1 talent equals 20 years of wages. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, moving forward. Verse 16. "So he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went in and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. And who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" You know, when it's all said and done for me, when my spiritual assignment is done here on earth, there's this desire that I long to hear from my Heavenly Father. There's this phrase that I crave and I long to hear Him say, and that is, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Anybody with me, church? Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and famous. Hello? Not well done, good and flawless. Not well done, good and funny, but well done, good and faithful servant. Church, I want to live my life with so much faith, not only having faith in Jesus, but to live faithfully to Him, that in the end, when I meet my Creator, when I meet my King, when I meet my Savior, I hear Him say, "Son, well done, good and faithful servant." Anybody with me, church? Come on, if that's you, say amen. Amen. Verse 22. "And he who also had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. I've made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Verse 24. "He also had received the 1 talent. Came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest, which is pretty true. You know, put in a term deposit, okay? For everyone who has will be more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I want to speak to today from the title of Found Faithful. Found Faithful. Everybody say Found Faithful. Found Faithful. Found Faithful. In 2022, when I first joined staff at NUMA, we would have this staff meeting. We call it staff discipleship. We call it SD for short. And to this day, we still have it. And in SD, what usually happens, we kick off with worship, and then we'd pray, and that would go on for 2 hours. And then usually there'll be some sort of announcement, and then there'll be a word. But in 2022, in this particular SD, in this particular staff meeting, we would have an altar call. Okay. And I remember having this encounter with the Lord, and I found myself praying, and I found myself saying, Lord, I crave, Lord, I long to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And the Lord replied to me simply with this, son, all you got to do is steward what I've given you and multiply it. And I want to remind us and encourage us that in the Great Commission, that as disciples of Christ, as followers of Christ, we are called to make more disciples. We are called to make more followers. As disciples, we are called to multiply. And in this scripture, in this parable, Jesus is using currency. He's using money as an example, as a representation, you can say, of what's been entrusted to us. But I want to remind us that God has not only given us money and resource to steward, but He's also given us time. He's also given us gifts. He's given us things. He's given us resource. He's given us talents, physical talents this time, abilities to be able to do things. He's given us relationship. He's placed us in a sphere of influence, and He's given us people to steward. And with all these things that God has entrusted to us, I want to ask us, church, are we making disciples or are we dismissing them? Are we forming relationship or are we forsaking them? Are we guiding people to Christ or are we ghosting them? Are we building them up? Or are we breaking them down? As disciples, are we multiplying what God has given us, or are we hiding what God has given us? And I want to pack just a couple of lessons from this parable that will help us in understand to walk in faithfulness, but also in our stewardship. Is that cool? Number one, we have to understand that we have been entrusted with something. We have been entrusted with something. Verse 14, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called on his servant and entrusted to them his property. Verse 15, to the one he gave 5 talents, to the one 2, to the one, each according to his ability. You see, each and every single one of us have been given something from God to steward. We've all been given something from God to steward. Whether it's a type of gift, a resource, or a level of responsibility, we have been entrusted by God to use these things for His purpose. Not for our purpose, for His purpose. And He has given us these things, not by random, but by our own ability. In this text, we see 3 servants who received the talents. One had 5, one had 2, and the other had 1. But I want to encourage us, it's not so much about comparing yourself and seeing what other people have, but the question is, what are you going to do with what God has given you? What are you going to do with what God has given you? Colossians 3:23 says this, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for man, knowing from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving Lord Christ. If you can sing, sing for the Lord. If you can dance, dance for the Lord. If you are serving the house of God, do it for the Lord. Don't do it for recognition. Don't do it to be seen. Do it for God. Romans 12, 6, 8 says this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's to serve, then serve. If it's to teach, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so based on our abilities, God gives different gifts to different people. None greater than the other, but each one is necessary. Each one is necessary for the advancement of the kingdom. Everything else, everything leads to the advancement of the kingdom. Not only that, I want to encourage us that we have to use our gifts to serve one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 says this, each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Yeah. Whatever gift it may be, use it to serve one another as God's stewards of God's varied grace. How many of us know that the fruit is not for itself, but it's for others to be eaten? The fruit is not for itself. It's for others to be eaten. And can I encourage you, whatever gift that God has given you, whatever talents He has entrusted to you, let us use it to serve one another. Let us use it to serve one another. And something that we all have as disciples that we can give is the gift of time. All of us have the gift of time. We may not have all the resource or all the wealth. We may not have the talents or the physical ability to help someone, but we all have time to give. We all have time to give. And I want to encourage us, church, one of our church kingdom culture values is that church is a covenant family. We're not meant to do life alone. We're not meant to do life in isolation. And so I want to challenge you, who can you give your time to this week? Let that be a challenge to you this week. Who can you give your time to this week? Whether it's a 10-minute phone call with someone or a couple of hours at a cafe or maybe even once a month commitment on a Sunday to serve. Wow. Whatever it may be, who can you give your time to this week? Is that cool? Yeah. Again, I want to encourage us, let's be faithful with what we have been given. Whether you receive 5 talents, whether you receive 2, or whether you receive 1, we all have something valuable that comes from God for His kingdom advancement. Amen? Number 2, faithfulness requires action. Verse 16, he who had 5 talents went at once. Verse 17, so also he who had 2 talents. You see, in order to faithfully steward what God has given us, it requires us as disciples to take action. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says this, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. If we want to multiply what God has entrusted to us, it requires us to take the initiative and make the action. The one who was faithful with their talents went at once. Can I encourage you to go at once, to went at once? There was a sense of urgency to take action. And in the Great Commission, Jesus doesn't tell His followers to just sit around. No, He tells them to go and make disciples. In other words, in order for us to make disciples, in order for us to multiply disciples, we must go. We must first go. It requires us as disciples to take the initiative and make the first move. Faithfulness requires action. How many of us know James chapter 2, verse 7, faith without works is what? Faith without works is dead. And if we're going to multiply what God has entrusted to us, we need to take action. And so I want to ask you, what can you do now in order to multiply what God has entrusted to you? What can you do in your everyday life to take action? Is it to initiate that phone call? Is it to initiate that first catch up? Whatever it may be, what can you do to multiply what God has entrusted to you? I also want to remind us that in this parable, we see the one with the five and the one with the two. Both rewarded equally. Both receive high praise from the master. Both receive the phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because of the results that they produced, but because they were faithful what they were entrusted with. If this was about result, then the one who made the five talents would have been the clear winner. But the master also saw the two because he saw the faithful stewardship in the two. I want to remind us, we may not have as much talent as the others. We may not have as much finance as the others. We may not have as much opportunity as the others. But God is not comparing us to them. He's asking, again, church, what are you doing with what I gave you? Whether it's five talents, whether it's two talents, whether it's one, are you taking action and being faithful and multiplying, or are you paralyzed by fear and hiding? I want to encourage us, let's not wait until we have more. Some of us, I don't want to move until I get here. It's a paralysis of analysis. What is that the term? Paralysis of analysis. We're not doing anything until something happens or until da, 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 da. You know what I'm saying? Let's not wait until we have more. Let's not wait until something happens. Okay? If you have one, don't wait until you have two. If you have two talents, don't wait until you have five. Instead, if you have one, start with one. Yeah. If you have two, start with two. Yeah. And if you have five, start with five. Start with what's already in your hands. Luke 16:10 tells us that the one who is faithful with little will also be faithful with much. Amen? Yeah. I want to encourage us, it's not about how much you start with, but it's how faithful you are with it. It's not about how much you start with, it's about how faithful you are with it. Will you be faithful with the one before you get to the two? Or will you be faithful with the two before you get to the five? You see, the downfall with the one who had the one talent wasn't because he had less. But out of fear and laziness, he chose to hide what was entrusted to him. Verse 24, he who had also received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you'd be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. Verse 25, so I was afraid and I went and hid your talents in the ground. Here, have what is yours. Verse 26, but his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. You see, his lack of action, his lack of faith was the real issue, not his starting point. And so as a result, because of fear and laziness, the one with the one talent was rebuked by the master. Not only that, but in verse 28, we see that the talent was taken away from him and given to the one who made five talents more. In other words, we either use it or we lose it. We either use it or we lose it. We either be faithful with the things that God has entrusted to us or be bound by fear and lose the things that God has given us. Where are you going to be, church? Where will you be? Where do you stand? Here's the bottom line. God is not looking for the most gifted. Hello. He's not looking for the most gifted. He's not looking for the one who has the most talents. He's not looking for the one who's the most charismatic. He's looking for the one that's most faithful. He's looking for the one that's most faithful. And faithfulness requires action. It requires action. I want to encourage us in this. Don't let fear stop you, but let faith move you. Don't let fear stop you, but let faith move you. Whether it's in the context of stewardship, don't let fear stop you. Let faith move you. Whether it's in the context of making a decision, don't let fear stop you. Let faith move you. whether it's in a context of responding from a call of God, responding to a call, calling, don't let fear stop you, but let faith move you. Here's what I discovered in my journey, in my short journey with the Lord. A single step of faith beats a lifetime of playing it safe. A single step of faith beats a lifetime of playing it safe. Is this helping, church? In order to steward things faithfully, based on this parable, number one, it requires us to understand what God has entrusted us with something. Whether it's gifts, whether it's certain abilities, talents, resource, people, or time, we have been entrusted to steward this for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Number two, faithful stewardship requires action. We're called to multiply the things that God has entrusted to us. Whether it's one talent, whether it's two talent, whether it's five talent, we are called to take action and multiply, if I can get the band to come up. So why do this? Why put attention in what God has given us? Why faithfully steward what God has entrusted to us? Well, it's because the Master's coming back. The Master's coming back. Say to the person next to you, don't slack, the Master's coming back. Say it with conviction, don't slack, the Master's coming back. Verse 19. Now, after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. You see, Jesus will return one day, folks. And we all have to give an account to God one day. Romans 14, verse 12 says this, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And my heart is that as disciples, as sons and daughters of the Most High, is that we be found faithful. We be found faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2 says this, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. Do you? Do you want to be found faithful? I want to be found faithful. When it's all said and done, when my spiritual assignment is completed here on earth, I want to be found faithful. To live for the reward of the Father's voice saying, Levi, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to ask you, church, when the Master returns, will you be found faithful? When the Master returns, will you be found faithful? I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but maybe you've buried your talent for a long time. Maybe you've put it up on the shelf. Maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe fear, doubt, on comparison got the best of you. But I want to encourage you, it's not too late. There's still time to be found faithful. And I want to encourage us, you don't have to have it all together. You just need to start what's in your hands. Whether God has given you one, whether he's given you two, whether he's given you five, start with what's in your hands. Trust that God will multiply when you move in faith and when you move in obedience. Is that cool, church? And church, I want to encourage us, let's live in a way that when he returns, we hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful. And in order to be found faithful, again, we have to understand that we have to take seriously what God has entrusted to us. And I want to ask you today, actually, I want to encourage you today, after this service, ask the Lord, what have you given me? What talents, what gifts, what abilities have you given me in order so I can glorify your name and advance your kingdom? And once the Lord tells you the gifts and talents that he's given you, go use it. Use it for his kingdom. Use it to glorify his name. I've got a new quote that I love, and it says this: glorify God and enjoy him forever. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we just bow our heads? Just take a time to reflect. What can you do now in order to advance his kingdom? What can you do now, church, in order to multiply what he has entrusted you? I want to encourage us. Let's live a life so faithful that when the master returns to settle his account, we be found faithful. We be found faithful. Thank you, Jesus. And so, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, Lord, for this convicting word. And Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, won't you just empower us to live a life that's pleasing to your sight, to live a life of living sacrifice, oh God, to live a life faithful to you, oh God, not just to live a life that has faith in Jesus, but to live faithfully to you, Lord God. And Lord, I ask for your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Lord, I ask for your help and guidance, Lord God, and teaching to teach me how to steward the things that you've entrusted to me, Lord God. Whether it's the ministry, whether it's my health, whether it's finance, whether it's my family, my marriage, Lord God. Father, won't you just give us the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to steward the things that you've given us? For the glorification of your name, oh God, and for the advancement of your kingdom. And so, Lord, I just pray, be with us. Holy Spirit, empower us and help us, oh God. We cannot do this on our own strength. We need you. We need you. And so, Lord, help us with the things that you've entrusted to us so that we can multiply and not hide it, oh God. And so, Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.